To get things started, we'll be first talking with candidates for U.S. Senate. And let's start with Sitka Mayor, Democrat Scott McAdams.
Thank you. Well, first of all, thank you to both KAKM for hosting this, as well to the entire public radio and public television community in Alaska for hosting this civic dialogue. Again, my name is Scott McAdams. I'm the mayor of the city of Borough of Sitka. I am a past school board member, a past president of the Association of Alaska School Boards, have been active in the arts community and the humanities community in the state, and I'm running for United States Senate with the year 2050 in mind. Today in Alaska, the clock is ticking. Our golden goose of Prudhoe Bay is entering its golden years. We need leadership and action in Washington, D.C. to ensure that Alaska's natural resources are developed responsibly. More importantly, I believe we need to work with Democrats, we need to work with the environmental community, we need to work with naysayers, and we need to collaborate with people to ensure that Alaska's economic prosperity and future are secured. So it's great to be here. I'm happy to be running. Again, I'm a small town mayor running for a national office. At the local level, we so often work on crafting a shared future, structuring it through policy and budget. Holding ourselves accountable to our vision and advocating for it to the community. I believe that's the kind of spirit we need to bring to Washington, D.C., not a spirit of partisanship, grandstanding and bickering between parties. So I hope to bring that fresh voice to Washington, D.C.
Thank you, Mayor Scott McAdams. And now we'll turn to Mr. Frank Bondesar for your one-minute opening statement.
Thank you. Good evening. Thank you for watching. My name is Frank Bondesar. I'm running for the U.S. Senate to reverse the damage done to Alaska and our country by 28 years of the Bush-Reagan fascist culture of corruption. My top priorities are restoring open government and ending the fascist culture of corruption, ensuring the terrorist threat is neutralized by legitimate and effective means, and restoring the constitutional and civil rights trashed by the Cheney-Bush regime. I will work to improve our economy while reversing welfare for the wealthy and corporations, make college and vocational training more affordable, support energy independence and a clean environment, and protect recent health care reforms from attack. Our military and intelligence apparatus must be depoliticized and driven by facts rather than fascist propaganda. The punitive use of the secret police and mental health system against political prisoners must be eliminated, and the constitutional separation of church and state must be reestablished. We must return to a one-person, one-vote system from the $1 one-vote system we now have by public financing of political campaigns. Finally, federal judges and justices must be appointed based on merit, not fascist ideology. My first act will be to introduce a bill in the Senate to increase the number of Supreme Court justices from 9 to 11. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Bondesar. Now we'll start the candidate question round, first of all, and we'll start with Mr. Bondesar. You ask a question, you have 1 minute to respond, then you'll have a minute for rebuttal, and then you'll quickly wrap up with a few seconds comments.
Thank you.
Okay, Scott, do you support the Fair Elections Now Act, which would provide public financing for federal elections and correct much of the corrupt, money-driven current system?
Thank you for that question, Frank. I used to believe that campaign finance was one of several important issues. As a candidate, as a small town mayor running for a statewide office, I now believe that campaign finance reform is one of the things that's needed to really save the republic and put it back in the hands of the American people. You know, so often, and I've seen good people, really good people, really smart, bright, articulate, thoughtful people, who I think over the course of a career I have seen, not because of any internal flaws within themselves, but because it's a necessary part of the game, begin to be influenced, I think, by corporate money. I mean, this is, we spend in this country, we've got a $3.5 trillion federal budget. We spend about $1 billion every cycle for campaigns. 0.003 of the federal budget is what we fundraise to do all the electioneering to fill the Senate and the House of Representatives. I would be all for taking on that sort of debt to free candidates from having to be beholden to corporate interests, to special interests, and to put power back in the hands of the American people. So I think it would be a small investment. You know, when you take a look at the federal budget, we do have to get disciplined about spending. But I think that we spend more on small things that have little, big things that have little impact. This would be a small thing that would have a huge impact on our nation.
Mr. Bondesar, you have 1 minute for a rebuttal.
Well, it's hard to rebut that. I would point out that Alaska has been particularly susceptible to corruption based on money. The Bill Allen scandals and those associated with it, he actually paid off and called on the House and Senate floor to tell them how to vote on things. I think that the recent Citizens United versus FEC decision by the Supreme Court has just opened the floodgates for corporate money to come in and just turn what was a corrupt system into a, you know, an absolutely corrupt system. And I think we have to have some sort of public financing in order to bring back democracy from what is now essentially a fascist plutocracy.
And Mayor McAdams, you have just a few seconds for your final statement.
Sure. Again, I do think that campaign finance reform is one of those things that would make our democracy and our republic healthier. You know, we are a nation of self-evident truths and inalienable rights. It's unfortunate that our election system has turned into a system of money and polls. We can do better. The American people expect better, and the Alaskan people deserve better.
Thank you. And now it's your turn, Mayor Scott McAdams, to ask Mr. Frank Bondesar a question.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Bondesar, for running and being engaged in the civic process, first of all. My question for you would be, at our constitutional roots in this state, in so many ways, our state constitution is one of the most elegant progressive documents that proclaims us as an owner state. And the crafters of that being Chairman Egan, my question to you is, what do you see being the possibilities of us returning back to our core values in this state as a progressive state?
I think it's very likely. I'm not sure, you know, how fast it'll happen, but you know, my understanding was originally they wouldn't let one state into the union because they were afraid it might be democratic. So they had Hawaii and Alaska come in, you know, almost simultaneously, and their original fear was that Alaska would be a Democratic state and Hawaii would be Republican, and it's turned out after the fact to be the exact opposite. But I think we have a real good chance of going back to, you know, having the people as opposed to the big money interests and big oil companies that have controlled the state for the last 40 years, you know, continue in that role.
All right, now it's my turn to ask a question. And my question will first be to you, Mayor McAdams. Oh, I'm sorry. You have a chance for rebuttal. Excuse me.
Well, you know, I do believe that Alaska was at the forefront on civil rights. We passed comprehensive civil rights reform long before the federal government did. Alaska was at the forefront as it relates to our state constitution. I think that this is as much the state of Egan and Greening and Bartlett as it is the state of Murkowski and Young. And, you know, I think that together, there's a lot of folks that are progressive on some things and conservative on others. I hope that we can become a postpartisan state as a small state, unify and move this state forward and provide a model for the rest of the nation.
All right, thank you. And Mr. Bondesar, you have the final response.
Okay, I'd just like to say, I think it's time to go back to the one person, one vote system from the $1, one vote system we have now.
All right, thank you. Sorry for that mistake. Now, I'll ask a question of you. Mayor McAdams, should deep water offshore development be allowed to advance in Alaska? And if so, what kind of protections do you think need to be in place to guard against spills or blowouts in Arctic waters?
Well, thank you for the question. I think, first of all, we need to put together an accountability system that ensures that, there's different ways that ensures that we mitigate risk. You know, in every walk of life, there's different ways we mitigate risk. We pass it off to someone else through the form of insurance. We actually create internal structures and controls to make sure that the right thing's done. We actually change our behavior. And the third thing that we sometimes do, or some folks do, is we take a look at the risk and the cost benefit of mitigating the risk. And if the cap on my ability is low enough, we just roll behavior that doesn't promote safety into our everyday operation, a hope for the best and scramble when catastrophe happens. So I do support oil development in Alaska, and there's a lot of reasons why on my website that make our plan unique and something I haven't heard discussed in other parts of the state.
All right, thank you very much for that. And now, Mr. Frank Bondesar, I would pose the same question to you.
Okay, basically, I think the system is starting to improve now. The minerals management system before was more a cheerleader for the oil industries, and there was no incentive for them to, you know, take precautions or be careful. Other than, you know, their own, you know, profit bottom line. I think that the system that the Obama administration has come up with is going to improve that. But beyond that, I think there ought to be, you know, safety measures in place if they're going to be drilling so that they can meet the, you know, any emergencies that, well, like the one down in the Gulf, obviously, that they have the things stationed where they need them at the time so that they don't have to go, you know, 90 days with the oil pouring out into the ocean and possibly destroying the subsistence of the various groups that use the whales and things like that up here.
All right, thank you very much for that. And now, Mayor McAdams, my next question to you would be, the federal health care overhaul has been a controversial issue. Do you support it? And if so, what do you think it will accomplish? If not, what would you have done differently?
Well, you know, it's I think we've heard a lot as part of the national dialogue, some of the pros and cons of the healthcare debate. The final bill through the sausage-making process of politics that came out of the hopper, of which had 150 Republican amendments attached to it, as I understand it. I think that this is a step in the right direction. I think that allowing people in states to be able to pool resources, to have an economy of scale, to be able to get, right now, our small businesses, our commercial fishermen, our independent owner-operators pay huge premiums on healthcare. And then our underinsured, our working poor, don't have access to healthcare. I think the larger question is, can a just people, can a fair-minded republic deny one group of citizens access to healthcare while giving it to another or giving access to another? I mean, I would say the case is the same, and just as we wouldn't deny someone a fair and adequate public education relative to their income, I don't know that a just people can summarily dismiss a whole population and deny them access to healthcare and potentially life-saving service.
Thank you. And Mr. Bondesar, the healthcare legislation, did you support it? What do you think it'll do?
I did support it. I would have preferred to see a public option or even a single-payer plan in the system for the option. I'm baffled as why the United States is the only industrialized country that doesn't have some sort of significant, you know, public healthcare system before this. You know, the Swiss, the Taiwanese, even the Canadians have a better system than we have. Once I heard somebody say that it was like the, would you want your health system like the public or like the postal service? And they said, you know, well, it would, what we have now is like the postal service and only serve like 30% of the people. So yes, I would prefer the, you know, to have a more public system.
All right, thank you very much, Mr. Bondesar. It's time for closing statements for the two Democratic candidates, starting with you, Mayor Scott McAdams.
Thank you again. My name is Scott McAdams. I'm running for United States Senate from Southeast Alaska, where I serve as mayor of the city and borough of Sitka. I'm running for this office again with the year 2050 in mind. I believe that Alaska deserves a United States senator who will put Alaskan communities ahead of Washington politics, who will put American workers ahead of corporate interests. You know, I believe that we're in year 30 of a, in a lot of ways, a house of cards that has otherwise been called supply-side economics. In the meantime, the American working people, American unions, have been outsourced, offshored, free-traded, and deregulated nearly to death. Alaskans understand revenue sharing. They understand the concept of a fair share. Working people in America, allowing demand to create its own supply is allowing everyday people to share in the wealth of this country. And what I feel the United States Senate has turned into is a club of millionaires who are serving the interest of billionaires. And it's time to put an everyday mayor and a small town guy from a small state into the United States Senate.
Thank you, Mayor McAdams. And now, Mr. Bondersaar, 1 minute for your closing statement.
Okay, I am Frank Bondersaar. I'm running for the U.S. Senate to reverse the damage done to Alaska and our country by 28 years of Bush-Reagan fascist culture of corruption. My top priorities are restoring open government and ending the fascist culture of corruption, ensuring the terrorist threat is neutralized by legitimate and effective means, and restoring the constitutional and civil rights trashed by the Cheney-Bush regime. My first official act as Alaska's next U.S. Senator will be to introduce a bill in the Senate to increase the number of Supreme Court justices from 9 to 11 in order to ensure U.S. democracy. The current 5 fascist justice majority Supreme Court must be reformed. My website is sites.google.com/site Bondersaar. I would appreciate your vote in the primary and general election. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Bondersaar.